Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us.
I'd like to introduce Frieda from England, who takes LDN for ME. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello, Frieda. Thanks for calling.
Could you
tell me... Can I tell you about my complex clinical history?
Okay. Would you like to tell your story?
Yes, you mentioned I have or had ME. This was diagnosed about 25 years ago when I went down with so-called glandular fever and mononucleosis. They didn't find the cause of it, except I had apparently two unknown viruses in my blood. And I was okay for a couple of weeks and returned to work. I was a full-time academic. And then I became ill again, and this pattern went on for about 6 months when I had to give up work. And by then I was pretty crippled. On reflection, now, several years later, in the wisdom of several years later, I realized I had already, before I went down with the glandular fever, some symptoms of what I would describe as immune dysfunction, such as irritable bowel problems and psoriasis. Even at one stage having some psoriatic arthropathy diagnosed, which then magically disappeared without treatment. I also, before I went down with the ME, several years before, had a lesion on my foot. Very bad, and I think it might have been a Lyme stick, but I'll come on to that in a moment. I also had childhood migraines. They may or may not have been related to the fact that I had a head injury as a child. And my health has fluctuated a lot since the glandular fever. And I was unable to work full time. When I could, I eventually got back to working part time. I'm inclined to say on reflection, it's a picture of chronic infection and probably chemical sensitivity, with these fluctuating symptoms of fatigue and migraine and feeling flu-like and rather toxic. Anyway, eventually, chronic Lyme's disease was diagnosed in a rather unofficial way using live blood analysis, if you're familiar with it. And former blood tests didn't show that. But a blood test did show I had Babesia, which is a co-infection which goes along with the Lyme's tick. And I think that earlier foot lesion that I mentioned was actually probably when I was first bitten by Lyme's tick. I used to be a sportswoman, and I did a lot of mountaineering, for example, in places like Scotland. And in those days, you walked in the heather in your shorts. Nobody seemed to be particularly interested in warning us about Lyme's, but now people are much more conscious of it, thank goodness. At the time that the doctor diagnosed the Lyme's using this live blood analysis, he also suspected Chlamydia pneumoniae, which was showing on the live blood analysis. A blood test came back as ambivalent, and I said, shall I have it redone? And the doctor said, no, my patients, when they show this, their blood test usually comes back positive. Very recently, I've had this now officially confirmed by blood test that I have chronic chlamydia pneumoniae. So I think it's a picture of chronic infection, as I said, these stealth-like pathogens, they go under glorious names like intracellular obligate cell wall deficient bacteria and so on, perhaps some opportunistic viruses, and I suspect also a possible genetic and even possible familial connection. In respect to the latter, my mother had severe rheumatoid arthritis, for example. Perhaps we'll have a chance to just talk a little bit about the genetics in a moment. You probably want to know when I was prescribed low-dose naltrexone, and I was prescribed by the doctor who diagnosed the Lyme's using the live blood analysis in about mid-2009, so it was about 3 years ago. And I took the low-dose naltrexone, working up to the target of 4.5 millilitres for about a year and a half to 2 years, as part of a combined treatment using different antibiotics and so on. The doctor concerned had several patients he claimed were benefiting from the low-dose naltrexone. And indeed, I got much better, and I stopped all these treatments. Whether this was unwise and premature, I don't know, but I suspect it probably was. How much of this combined treatment was due to the low-dose naltrexone, it's impossible for me to say, except that my sleep certainly improved, and I think that could have been down to, particularly, to the naltrexone. Anyway, the two last winters I had two bad winters with recurrent chest infections, feeling flu-like, and I also had an infected cyst on the chest wall, which was analysed and came back as mixed anaerobic bacteria. And so at that point, I started to get quite a bad relapse. And so I resumed low-dose naltrexone on a low dose, and I want to eventually be able to reach the target of 4.5 millimetres. So just to summarise, I suspect it's rather like epigenetics, this new field that everybody's talking about. I suspect there are these environmental factors such as the stealth pathogens and probably chemicals. I suspect genetic susceptibility with a particular reference to the immune system and possibly a family connection. So, for example, I mentioned my mother's rheumatoid arthritis. How about that for some of my clinical history?
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, and what I should...
And would you recommend LDN to other patients suffering with ME?
Well, now I've got to grips with the underlying theory and the increasing scientific evidence for it, for naltrexone, low-dose naltrexone for autoimmune diseases. And now I've read and heard a number of your testimonies on your website. I would certainly recommend it to those, I think, who are struggling with similar kinds of health problems. And especially given that conventional medicine, in my experience, and the National Health Service here in Britain offers very little to help people with autoimmune problems. I have paid for all my, should we say, alternative treatments, and generally not been successful with GPs when talking about ME. My latest one, for example, said that that's research, is until it's whatever ratified by NICE, you know, the clinical excellence people, the authorities. Big brother, if you like, then it won't get prescribed by my GP. To be fair, I haven't actually asked for low-dose naltrexone from my current GP. I felt actually too discouraged to go any further, having talked about Lyme's with him, chronic Lyme's disease. As you know, it's not recognised officially by mainstream medicine in this country as an authentic condition. Maybe I should tackle him again. Does that help?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to introduce Jamie from the United States, who takes LDN for chronic Epstein-Barr virus. Thank you for joining me, Jamie.
Thanks.
Could you tell us when you first got C.
sick, what happened?
It started in January of this year. I got mono last September, and I worked in a factory on third shift, plus I worked another job and took care of my daughter. So I couldn't work my factory job for 2 months because they wouldn't let me push 150 pound bins. So I had to take off. Well, I ended up getting better until January. I started cleaning houses in January, 7 days a week, took care of my daughter, my boyfriend, two kids, and I was working cleaning houses 7 days a week plus cleaning his place. And one Friday, I just could not physically get up. I had shooting pains in my arms and legs, and it felt like something just like I hit a brick wall, and I just physically could not get up. While I was sick for a few months like that, and I started doing research, which I found out I knew I had Epstein-Barr virus, which my labs were really high. So I knew I had fibromyalgia too with it. So I started doing my own research because I was seeing a doctor for fibromyalgia. Well, I started doing my own research and found Epstein-Barr was, like, fibromyalgia was linked to Epstein-Barr. And this one doctor I was going to was mad because I was doing my own research. And he's like, you better not be on antivirals and da-da-da. Well, I was. Because, you know, we found other doctors that had done research into it and listed, you know, some, if you had like three different viruses, it was linked to the fibromyalgia. So then I started doing more research. I was on a Facebook chronic Epstein-Barr virus website, and I heard about a drug called LDN. And I used it a lot for chronic Epstein-Barr virus to boost your immune system. So I started typing in LDN and then the state I lived in, and found like two doctors that prescribed it. And the doctor that prescribed it is about 4 hours from me. So I went and saw her, and she put me on this LDN drug because she's had good results with it from people. Mm-hmm. So I started that.
When did you start?
A few. Oh, goodness. My memory's bad sometimes. I started that in. Let me see.
Okay. How long have you been on it? Can you remember that?
6 months.
Okay.
So she said it could take over a year for it to even have the full effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went back for my checkup before she went on vacation, she said, at least I don't look like I was dying this time.
Oh.
Because well, when she first saw me, I was in really, really bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Because when... I was taking Neurontin 600 milligrams 4 times a day, and now I've dropped it down to 100 milligrams morning and then just night.
What is that you're taking?
Neurontin is for the nerve pain for fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's very reassuring, isn't it? And when you first started, did you notice any side effects?
I had some weird dreams at first, but they went away
mm-hmm.
after a while. And
how long?
But nothing.
Okay. How long did it take?
Maybe like. like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't nothing bad. I mean.
Okay. How long did it take before you noticed improvements?
Noticed what?
Improvements.
I'd say probably 3 weeks. Because I mean, I could not even hardly get out of bed to take a bath and shower. My 12-year-old daughter was combing my hair because I did not have the strength to comb my hair. I had to cut most of it off.
Because
I would take a bath, and I physically could not do any more. I was so exhausted. I had to come and lay down and sleep before I could do something else.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would sleep in my clothes. I mean, what I wore to bed is what I pretty well wore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so physically exhausted.
And what are you like now?
But my doctor, my regular doctor is like, how did you find this? Because she was like, how, you know, I'm like, I have been doing research. I'm like, I have done my own research. And she's like, she just could not believe it. So I gave her all the information because she didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But she was glad that I had done my own research because I'm only 38 years old. And I had a sister. She was 23 years old, and she died in 2005. And I know when she was little, she had mono, so I'm assured she had the Epstein-Barr virus, and she had gastroparesis. Like, she had got breast implants, and after those breast implants, she went downhill after that 3 years, and she was dead. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we didn't know about all this stuff because the way I found out about it was Facebook. These sites, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I refused to be this sick. But my doctor in Indy, she just said that it could take up to a year being on this drug, but she says do not miss a single dose of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get my medicine, my LDN, out from Colorado at Belmar Pharmacy, the compound pharmacy, and she said it's one of the top pharmacies, which for a 3 month supply, I only pay $50.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how would you explain a typical day for you now?
Well, I'm still tired, like if I overdo things and stuff, but I'm nothing like I was. And the fibromyalgia has like, I mean, some days it just depends, you know, if it's cold, really cold outside, it may bother me, but it's nothing like it was. I mean, I had shooting pains in my arms and legs so bad. And, I mean, I've dropped my medicine down well over half. And the Neurontin, which I heard that it's not, that Neurontin is not very good for you anyways. And then, I don't know, I mean, I can tell a big difference. If it wasn't for that, this one medicine, the LDN, I would not be up walking every day. I mean, I was basically, all I had to do was enough to get out of bed and go to the bathroom and then crawl back in bed.
Well, that's amazing, isn't it? Really is.
So, well, yeah. I heard a lot of these doctors don't like to prescribe it because it's not a money-making drug. Because it's such a low-cost drug that they really don't make enough money off of it.
Okay. I am so pleased that you are feeling so much better and able to get up and function and live your life again. So, you know, you haven't been taking it a year yet, so it would be amazing to see what you're like next year this time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for sharing your story with us, Jamie.
I'd like to introduce Zoe from England, who has multiple sclerosis. Welcome, Zoe.
Hello.
Could you tell me when you first started to notice MS symptoms?
Yes, it was back in 1993. I started getting numbness in my toes. But I wasn't diagnosed until 2001.
Okay, and how old were you then?
I was 51 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a very active person. Certainly when I first started getting symptoms, I used to compete successfully in orienteering and triathlons. My children were still at secondary school, and I was working part-time.
Mm-hmm. So by the time you were diagnosed, what were your symptoms then?
Well, I had optic neuritis, and for a long time I'd had problems with foot drop, and I was getting problems in my leg. I hadn't connected the two, but of course when I saw a neurologist, he realised, and so I got the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. But, and how did it impact on your life being diagnosed with MS?
Well, obviously I had to stop running. My sporting activities had just went downhill. I mean, I couldn't read a map and I couldn't run, so orienteering wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really devastating to be told you have an incurable disease, which mm-hmm. is only going to get progressively worse. So you tend to go into deep despair. But I did have a very supportive family, and they just gave me enough space to come to terms with it, which I suppose I did in my own way. Yeah. I could still run a bit then, but it just became gradually worse over the years. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I didn't have any very serious symptoms once the optic neuritis went. It was just gradually getting worse.
And how did you hear about LDN?
Well, I read about it in News Pathways, and I also joined the MS Diet group, and some people in that group were taking it. I think that was around about 2004 when I first heard about it.
Mm-hmm. When did you first start taking LDN?
I didn't start taking it until 2010. I had tried before then.
Right.
I had no luck getting LDN when I first wanted it, mm-hmm. which was 2005. I got a load of information from New Pathways. I sent it to my neurologist and to my GP, and when I discussed it with the neurologist, he just dismissed it. He said, oh, that's just a placebo. You might just as well take wallpaper paste, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, well, you know, what do you recommend? What can you do for me? And he said, there's nothing I can do for you. He didn't have any alternative.
Mm.
So, I've never seen him since. So I asked my GP if she would prescribe it, but she said, oh, no, I can't go against what the neurologist said. So that was it, really. I believe I could have got a prescription from the States or something, but I don't know. I just didn't go down that road. I tried lots of other remedies, and, you know, there were diets and various things. I tried antibiotics. They all helped to some extent, and I think that was the placebo effect.
Mm.
But then eventually, my MS nurse said, why don't you see this neurologist, another man? And he said there was no harm in trying LDN, though he didn't encourage it. Now, then by luck, my GP was having a baby, and her replacement said, oh, you can try this. What a good idea. So I eventually started it in December last year.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice any initial side effects?
I did. I got a headache. Now, my headache lasted about a week. I felt very dizzy at first. The first day, I felt dizzy. I didn't dare drive the car. And the headache lasted about a week and then went off. after that, sorry, I wrote this down and I can't find out because I know. Yes, that's it. I had the swimming head, and then I got headaches. Now, I don't normally get headaches, but I also felt very sleepy. When I increased the dose, I did get the unpleasant dreams, which is a sort of usual side effect, I believe.
And how long did it take before you found that LDN was a benefit?
Well, it started being beneficial more or less about the first 3 weeks, I suppose, yeah. Once the headache had gone off, then it started to get beneficial.
So what benefits have you noticed with being on LDN?
Well, my energy increased. I was able to do more. I don't get so tired. And what I really noticed after a couple of months was that my concentration had really improved. I could think about things without getting muddled like I used to. I did a tax calculation, which I'd been putting off for months, and I found I could go out in the evenings and do things because I wasn't so tired. Mm-hmm. I kept doing things I hadn't done before. I mean, like one day I vacuumed the house, not all at once. I mean, mm-hmm. And another day I washed the car, and I kept thinking, I haven't done that for years.
If you were to score your quality of life on a rating of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, before you started LDN, what would it have been?
Oh, I don't know, about 4, I should think.
And what would you rate it at now?
About 8, I should think. Yeah. Yes, because I just feel very different. Yeah.
What would you say to other people who are contemplating trying LDN that might be a bit wary?
Well, I think they should go for it. Start as soon as you can. I mean, if you can get it, it's worth trying. You may need to persevere to get through this this initial discomfort. And I would say the starting dose seems to be quite critical. I got it in a liquid form, and it was easy to adjust. Although I started at 3 milligrams, I reduced it quite soon to 2 milligrams, and I found that I could cope with that better. That's probably why some of those headaches and tiredness went.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite an easy thing to do, and you just need to persevere.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us, Zoe.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, LINDA, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.